If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of The Yard. Hope things are well with you wherever you are today. I had planned to record a little bit earlier, but had the opportunity to interview Alabama head coach Rob Vaughn about this weekend series. You can read that over at jeanspage.com if you're a VIP member. If you're not a VIP member, you can take advantage of our 50% off sale for a few more days. We encourage you to come be a part of that. Nobody covers Mississippi State like we do. It's true. Matter of fact, last night had to wasn't a lot of room in the press box, and Neil Price and Ron Polk and I had to sit in the bleachers to the left of the press box. Wasn't like that last time I went over there, but they've changed some people over there, but there's not a lot of room. So the reality of it is you got to do what you got to do to get the job done, and we do. We got it done. Coach Polk survived. I think he asked if I could get him some hot chocolate maybe four or five times the last few innings. But, a couple times I had to walk out there to the car to put some more clothes on. Wasn't great. Wasn't ideal. But we persevered, as did the Bulldogs, and State wins the game. We're going to break that thing down. We're going to look ahead a little bit to the weekend. And then, of course, we'll talk about kind of what's going on in basketball. A lot of portal talk. You guys are well aware. A lot of people are kind of panicking a little bit. And I get it. I mean, you're emotionally invested. And it's like, man, do we have to rebuild the roster every single year? So we'll go over some of that stuff, too. And I don't really have any code of conduct about any of that stuff, right? Some guys leave on their own, and ladies. And some players elect to enter the portal in hopes of getting a better NIL deal. And I think that is a huge gamble. Right, because somebody could probably get your production for maybe the same value they were paying you. And then there are some that are encouraged to leave. And so there's a variety of reasons why people go into the portal. And, the world is a world of power. We all know this. And in true about itself, right? So it's important to understand that aspect of it, too. That, everybody out here is looking out for number one. Everybody. And that's the way the game is set up right now. You got so many people out there that are, in these kids' ear. And they're like, hey, I can get you this. I can get you that. And a lot of times they can't. But sometimes they can. And that's important to understand as we get ready for the NCAA football spring transfer portal window to open next Wednesday. Yeah. So just when the basketball portal begins to close, the football portal will open. And we'll finish up baseball season. And then the portal for baseball will open. So not a lot of downtime for fans of college football. And I understand there's a lot of fatigue with all of that, right? I mean, it's like you follow it so closely and you keep up with it. And you're like, hey, next year coming back, we'll have Keyshawn Murphy. We'll have Josh Hubbard. We've got a good nucleus to kind of build around. And then Josh declares for the draft, didn't sign with anybody. So he has the opportunity to come back. And he does say if he doesn't go pro, he's coming back to Mississippi State. And then Keyshawn Murphy, who went into the portal last year and then withdrew and had a really good year for State this year. That could be a negotiating situation. I don't know. His stock is much higher now than it was last year. We'll see how things go. But, I get it, though. It's like you get so invested in all this. You get so excited about it. And you think, okay, we just need to get this and this and this. And then everything is kind of blown up in a week's time. Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, we need everything. Right, and on the women's side, you need even more. We'll look at all that As we get a little deeper into the show, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. I plan to have Bulldog Burger Company for lunch mañana. That's the hope, anyway. That's the plan. You know, sometimes things change, but I am a creature of habit. Typically, when I decide I'm going to do something, I do it. And one of the reasons that I continue to choose Bulldog Burger Company is because there's no guesswork involved. Right? Some days I sit down and I'll go lunch somewhere and I'm like, you know, I wasn't feeling this. Or maybe they had a bad day. There is a consistency at Bulldog Burger Company that I have grown to love and respect. I know exactly what I'm going to get when I go there, no matter what I order. I'm going to get a high-quality meal served with a high-quality level of service in a great location and a great atmosphere and ambiance and all the good stuff. I can go there with one of you and have lunch, or I can go there with a group of you and have dinner. And you can have the adult beverages. I will not partake. But nevertheless, there's a reason I keep going back, and it's because of the fact that I enjoy it. I don't just eat to sustain my existence. I eat for enjoyment, right? You've got to eat anyway. You might as well eat something you enjoy. I enjoy Bulldog Burger Company, and I know many of you do as well. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, maybe you haven't given them a try yet, let me encourage you to try the Bulldog. It's a great way to get started. It's a good gateway burger. And then after you kind of get your feet wet a little bit, maybe come back and walk on the wild side a little bit. Maybe get that the mission or the breakfast burger, the good morning burger, as we call it. You know, branch out a little bit, enjoy life. That Freshman 15, I think, was my second burger there, I think if memory serves me correct. And I've had them all. And I've enjoyed them all. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. And get that chocolate shake to go so you can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. So we win the ball game last night. And, we're going to kind of break it down here. Started out kind of cool, ended up cold. It did. Wasn't necessarily baseball weather. Felt like late February baseball weather. Thought we were beyond that. But, there's even some freeze warnings in the South. And I don't mean at Auburn. But it's interesting. You know, there's just so much that happens in life. And just when you think you've got it all figured out, just kind of looking at our advanced forecast, you know, it's going to be this weekend, you know, highs in the 60s and 70s, but lows in the 40s. So we won't quite get down to freezing. I think it was 38 degrees this morning here in Starkville. So it's tough to know how to dress. Just when you put your weather jacket up and your sweaters, all of a sudden you got to dig them back out. But hope is on the way. We will have a day in the 80s next week if the forecast holds. But then, 50s and 60s. Highs and lows next week. So should have good weekend weather in Tuscaloosa. So if you're on the fence about coming out, don't let the weather keep you away. Don't let the Facebook meteorologists control your life. But, we get out here and, Warwick is the starter. He was a guy that was expected to be a weekend guy last year, got hurt. He's working his way back. And sometimes it takes more than a year. I mean, you got to get guys to build up some volume, and it just takes some time to kind of trust their surgically repaired arm. Fry's hit by the pitch, and then Reese has walked. Lengthy at bat here for Ace, and I thought he worked it pretty well too. And we make him pay. Sullivan, who is red hot as of late, doubles down the right field line. Fry scores, and then Reese gets around to third. And then Hines, good situational hitting there. Even though the hitting streak came to an end last night, still get a productive out from him. The streak is snapped at 12, which matches a career high from back in 2022. But Hines grounds out the first, run scores. It's 2-0. And again, we got a chance here, runner in scoring position to make some things happen. But Chance strikes out swinging, and Stevens flies out to left field. So good start for the Bulldogs, 2-0. And this first inning here was really good for Noah Sullivan. He gets Lewis to ground out to short. And then this Broshwood kid, and this guy is a professional great hitter. Plays center field at UAB. This guy's really, really good. He doubles to right center. There's just not a lot of pieces around him. You know what I mean? Wesley Helms pops up to second, and then Clay flies out to left. Clay's a guy that made the move up from junior college, and it's been a good piece for UAB. Didn't do much last night. But, yeah, so we pitch around that one-out double there. And then, you know, back on the sticks here, and it's like they're trying to give it to us again. Sanders works the count full. They plunk him. You know, leadoff walks are like manna from heaven when they happen to you. When they happen to others or for others, it is of the devil. But Sanders gets the hit by pitch, basically a base on balls here. And then Cup lines out to the shortstop. Heifel goes down swinging, and then Fry goes down swinging. So not much going on here. You kind of waste an opportunity there. That's a game of baseball. Bottom of second. Holyfield singles to short. Hayslip, then we think we're going to get two, but we're only able to get the one at second. And then J.P. Head doubles to left. And then Beaver doubles to right. And that's 7-8 in the order. Back-to-back doubles ties the ball game. And then we walk Cheeseman. The nine-hole hitter. Walking the nine-hole hitter is always a recipe for disaster. But we're able to get around it. We get Lewis to strike out swinging. And then Braunschweig singles. Great play here by Dylan Cup, too. Right, so this ball is on the outfield grass, and Cup doesn't give up on it. But he chases it down, makes a diving stop. The coach at third decides to send the runner. And you're gambling here, but you're also hoping that the shortstop can't get it clean. Well, Cup does and throws a strike to the plate. And Beaver is out easily at home. A nice tag there by Ross Heifel, too. Good positioning to ensure that there would not really be a need for a review. Not that they could review it. It's almost like I saw some of the highlights, and it's like you guys were like looking through a microscope or something. It's weird. You couldn't even see the plate from the center field camera. Nevertheless, 2-2 ball game. Top of third. State goes 1-2-3. Bottom of third. We bring in McPherson, who is great again for the second straight week. And again, this, I think the guy's kind of developing some confidence here. And remember, like, what was it, 11, 14 in a row last week, I think? Or I know it was 11. But he just kind of mows it down and then picks up where he leaves off and gets a 1-2-3 inning here in the third. Top of four, State goes 1-2-3. And then we get two, right? We get the first two outs, Hayslip and Head, and then we walk Beaver and then Cheeseman. So we've started another streak there. But we get out of it with a line out to Gad Sanders. Ball was hit pretty well, but nice play by Sanders, who has really kind of been a solidifying force on the infield. They bring in Brock Hill, their third pitcher of the day, and Cup hits it to third, and you know, just nice play hit by the third baseman. You know, Cup's, I don't know that Cup is 100% back. He'll tell you he is. He's full go and everything, but you know, sometimes, especially with the running piece, you know, it takes a little while to kind of get back up to your top speed. I don't know that he's quite there yet. Then Heifel walks. Good at bat there by Ross. And then Fry doubles to left field. And this thing had a tail on it off the bat. You could tell it was going to be down and going to be trouble. And not only does it get down, but it gets away from the left fielder. And that allows Heifel, the speedy catcher, to come all the way around from first to score to give State the lead again at 3-2. And then Ace Reese, interesting deal here. They're in the shift. He gets down 0-2, and he grounds it into the shift. But the shortstop is basically playing short field. And they don't have any sense of urgency, but Ace does. And Ace races down the line and beats the throw to first, and Fry scores on the play. So now it's a 4-2 ball game. And it really felt like we had him on the ropes a little bit. You can kind of look at him and tell the body language wasn't great. And then Noah Sullivan hits one hard to left field that clears the fence to make it 6-2. And at this point, I thought there is no way we're losing this ball game. That's just kind of how it felt. Just kind of the feeling and the temperature at the ballpark there at Young Memorial Field. It just kind of felt like, you know what, this one's going to go the way of the dogs. And a lot of people felt that way too. The temperature began to drop, and their enthusiasm and interest in the game went with it. And so many of those people, I would say probably half the crowd, was gone after this inning. Hines strikes out swinging, and then Chance fouls out to right field. Kind of a high fly ball down there, just kind of twisting and turning, and it's caught in foul ground. But nevertheless, State with four in the inning. You love to get crooked numbers. And games are often won in middle innings, right? If you have a lead, you want to expand the lead. If you're behind, you want to catch up or surpass them and take a lead, and you typically do that, you know, the second time through the order, you know, maybe four, five, and six. Those are important innings. They're all important, but more times than not, the complexity of a game is kind of determined in the middle innings. Brunswick reaches again, this time on a fielding error by the shortstop, and it comes back to haunt us, right? We just couldn't make a play here. And then there's a wild pitch, so we complicate matters and double play no longer in order. And lo and behold, what do you know? We get a ground out to third. Now, Ace looks the runner back and throws the hitter out at first. And so we keep him at bay there. So it kind of works like a sacrifice. Well, then Clay flies out to center, and Braunschweig tags and takes third. You think we're going to find a way to get out of this. But no, Holyfield doubles to right center, and the run comes in. So you lead off with an error. You play pretty good after the wild pitch, but you play pretty good defense there, and you still give up the run. And that's what happens in life, right? You make the big mistake, and eventually it comes back to get you. Sometimes you're able to navigate around it, but in this situation here, you know, if we pick that thing clean, and not everything's going to be perfect, but if you make a clean play there, it's probably a 1-2-3 inning. But instead, we give up a run here. It makes it 6-3, and then Haysup grounds out the first. Top of sixth, that goes 1-2-3. Justin Hicks comes in. It's a pretty good job for them. In the sixth, UAB goes 1-2-3. As McPherson strikes out the side there. Top of seven, we get a one-out single from Garrick Frye. And it's like now that he's starting to get regular at-bats, you're kind of seeing him kind of return to form. We saw a little bit of that earlier in the year when he played some at second. And you're like, oh, we got to pull him because we can't trust him. And give the staff a little bit of credit here. Hey, let's start taking some reps with him in practice at left and see if we can't find a way to get his bat back in the order. And he is starting to look a little more comfortable. We interviewed him last night, or I did. I interviewed him last night. There's no we. I interviewed him last night, and you can read that feature this morning for free at Gene's page. But after Frye singles up the middle, they bring in Blake King, a Mississippi native, and he's able to induce a ground ball double play out of Ace Reese to keep the game right where it is. So they get a hold there, 6-3. Bottom of seven, we bring in Nate Williams, and Installman takes over and left. Kind of starts well enough. You get Lewis a strikeout swinging. Then Braunschweig again singles to left and still second. And then we get Helms swinging, and Clay strikes out looking. You know, Braunschweig is just kind of a one-man wrecking crew, you know. Hitting second in the order. It was a guy that had multiple opportunities to leave and go to SEC schools. But he's, as Casey Dunn told me on Monday, you know, the kid's thinking was, well, if I stay here, I'm going to play every day and I'm going to hit near the top of the order. If I go somewhere else, and they've had some other UAB kids that did, that ended up sitting or becoming part-time players, he's like, I don't want to do that. I can stay right here and do what I need to do and get drafted. And good on the kid. All right. Top of eight, you'd like to expand a little bit here, and thankfully we do. Sullivan's hit by the pitch, then Hines strikes out swinging, and that's the last at bat for him. He ends up being in the on-deck circle in the top of nine. Chance then gets an absolute perfect bunt down. I mean, it was absolutely no play to be had here. So now all of a sudden you get runners at first and second. So you think, do we want a bunt? Do we want a bunt? Well, we end up working the count and get a walk here to load the bases. And how many times have you seen it this year? We load the bases and maybe don't get anything out of it. Well, this time, Gad Sanders singles to right center, and it would have been a double. However, Steven stumbles going around second, and two runs score. I don't know that we could have got a third one, but we probably could have had runners at second and third. But it kind of works out that way anyway. Cup strikes out swinging, and then Stevens ends up taking third on a wild pitch. I need my trail runner to move it up two. And then Heifel strikes out swinging. So 8-9 not coming through for us there. But again, now it's a five-run game. So it's going to take a huge meltdown here. Instead, we get a 1-2-3 inning from Williams to get us to the ninth. And we talked about Hines on deck as Noah Sullivan strikes out swinging. And Stallman goes down, Reese goes down, ground out, and then Sullivan strikes out swinging. So again, officially, the hitting streak is snapped. Luke Dodson comes in for the ninth. Gets pinch hitter Jake Merrick to strike out swinging. Cheeseman goes down swinging. Top of the order comes back up, and he gets Lewis to fly out to right field on an 0-2 count. So 8-3 is your final. And really, from the middle innings on, there was not anything to worry about. I saw some social media commentary when they tied it, and people were really upset. Again, we need to invest in an app that will allow your significant other to disable your social media accounts and to read only during a game. It's true. All right, Gehrig Fry, 2-for-3 last night with the RBI, had the one strikeout. And Noah Sullivan, 2-for-4 with 3 RBI in the ballgame, and all of them were huge. Bryce Chance goes 1-for-4 the bunt there. But just 7 hits in the ballgame for your Bulldogs. But, I really think the story of this game really was relief pitching. Again, some situational hitting, but Noah Sullivan got knocked around a little bit. 5 hits, gives up his first runs of the year. He had allowed no runs in his first 4 appearances. Gives up a pair in 2 innings pitched tonight, struck out one and walked another. But 35 pitches, and you start thinking, if you get Soa to get you 2 innings out there and then turn it over to the pen, you should be in good shape. Bulldog relievers combined to allow 2 hits in the final 7 innings of play. Ryan McPherson allows 1 hit and 1 run, and it was unearned. That's when we talked about, it still counts on the scoreboard, though. I mean, I count against the pitcher, but it counts on the scoreboard. But really good effort in that respect. Bulldog relievers struck out 11 in the final 7. McPherson with 5 in his 4 innings pitched. But, we talked about the bullpen should be the strength of this team, and there's been some times this year that people have tried to throw that back in my face. But bullpen has pitched pretty well here in the last, week, 10 days or so. I think everybody would agree. Kind of had a tough weekend down at OSU, but not everybody. But that's your ballgame. And you ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to know exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family, it could be your kids' names, their ages, whether you agree to this disclosure or not. And that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name, and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there. Well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe, and they even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of people are going to be talking about a new year means a new you. Well, that's not necessarily the case. How about a less burdened you? Therapy can help more easily identify what weighs you down and holds you back by offering a very unbiased perspective to better understand your relationships, your motivations, and your emotions. I'm a person that absolutely believes in therapy. I think everybody needs someone they can tell everything to. Perhaps you're in that situation too. We're going to ask you to give our friends at BetterHelp an opportunity to help you deal with the triggers in life and the hangups, the heartbreaks. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up today and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. It doesn't have to be this way. It could be a better version of yourself and a better version of life. Visit betterhelp.com today. I did a little digging too. You know, sitting by Neil Price, I heard him mention this, and I said, I think that's correct. Mississippi State's now won 7 midweek games in a row. Now, there used to be a time that some of our fans, and maybe a little bit foolhardy at times, we always expected to win every midweek game. And Lamontas kind of spoiled us a little bit that first year. He won all the midweeks. Last year, we went 9-4. Well, currently we're 7-2. We dropped the first two to Southern Miss and Troy, which is when people began to get concerned, and rightfully so. But we've won 7 in a row, and now we have 4 left. We'll play Southern next week, and in 2 weeks we go down to Pearl to play Ole Miss in the Governor's game. Memphis will then come to Starkville in the back end of that home-and-home arrangement, and then North Alabama the week before we go to Missouri. That's all you have left. Just 4 midweek games. It's always so interesting. Like, I mean, you look so forward to all of this. And guys, when we get through this weekend, you know, baseball season is 2 months old. Yeah, that's it. 2 months old with about 6 weeks left in the regular season. So we're basically at the halfway point. We've won 20 games. We've dropped 13. We would much prefer to be like 25-8 or better. Love to be, if we're wishing, we'll wish to be undefeated. But the reality of it is you know, number one, you had a good weekend last weekend, but you've run out of time to have any more dead weekends. No matter how well you play, you got to win games. Simple as that. And you can ill afford to really drop any more midweeks. You could probably absorb the Ole Miss midweek, because that wouldn't hurt you that bad. But we really need to win that as an RPI climber. We need to be able to hit midweek Ole Miss pitching and win that ball game. So, yeah, I think one of the things it's got to be on the checklist as we begin to kind of look ahead to what's left for this season is you have to win these last 4 midweeks. And I think really the only one you worry about is the Ole Miss game down in Pearl. And so that's a big one. You know, should you get Southern next week? Yes. Should you get Memphis? Yes. Have you guys kept up with Memphis since we played them? You know, we played them right in the middle of a losing streak. I'm sure you guys remember that. We talked about that. We were nervous going up there, right? I mean, it's just, I think that's just kind of part of the deal. It's like we've kind of gotten so skittish, man. It's like we can't take anything for granted. And maybe that's a good thing. But I remember going up there thinking, man, that we can ill afford to lose this game. Our focus has got to be on beating Memphis and taking care of Memphis. And it's been rough, though. But, yeah, so since we played Memphis, and again, we'll play them again here pretty soon. You know, they were right in the middle of that big losing streak. So after we beat them, they drop the next 2, and then they get the Sunday game against South Florida, and that snaps the losing streak. And then last night, they go right back to losing again. You know, and so, again, you know, we'll see them here, I don't know, 3 weeks? Yeah, April 29th. And have a chance to play them again. So I'm not worried about that game, especially at home. And then there's North Alabama, and certainly we expect to win that game. And so you never know what's going to happen in these rivalry games, right? Even though we've had a lot of success against Ole Miss the last several years. But you'd like to think, hey, we should be able to go 4-0. Worst case, 3-1, but we really need to go 4-0. We need that RPI climber to get a win over Ole Miss. We do. And so you start thinking about that aspect of it. If you get the last four, that makes you 11-2 in midweeks, and you will have won 11 in a row to close out the regular season slate. That helps, but that's not going to be enough, right? You can win all your midweeks and all your non-conference and have a bad conference record and stay home, right? But when you start thinking about, you know, demerits against the Mississippi State resume, that's part of it. Don't have any bad losses. It's one thing to lose to an SEC team. It's another thing to lose to a Sun Belt team. All due respect to Southern and Troy, but it's even worse to lose to a Southland Conference team. And so we did some of that last year, as you guys know. You know, four quad four losses. You know, so far this year, we don't have the big loss in that respect. You know, Southern and Troy are both good teams, but we expect to beat those teams. But I wanted to kind of throw that out there. Again, last year at 9-4, of course, we had a game that got canceled. I guess the UAB game got canceled last year. But that's where we are. And these midweek games are important. And there's some people out there to say, oh, midweeks don't matter. They may not matter in the rankings, but they matter before the Division I selection committee, as our season last year has proved positive. You got to take care of business. Yeah, I still go back to that Central Arkansas last year. It just absolutely drives me crazy to lose that game. We played at 10 in the morning. I imagine some of the players probably go to bed after midnight. You know, it's what college kids do. But nevertheless, that's where we are, and that's what we've done. Let's take a quick look kind of around the league here. And we mentioned Ole Miss and Memphis played last night, and Ole Miss wins that game handily, 10-0. And let's, I mean, give Ole Miss a lot of credit. They've been better than many people, including myself, expected them to be. You know, it is what it is. You know, you got to go win games. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It matters what you do on the field. Now, granted, they have had kind of a light schedule so far, but you got to win those games. So not a lot of surprises last night in the Southeastern Conference as we worked through Tuesday evening scores. Georgia all over Presbyterian, 16-2. That game ends in 7, as you'd expect. A big 9-run fifth inning for the Bulldogs allowed them all the breathing room they did, and probably allowed Wes the opportunity to empty the roster and let everybody play. Tennessee 10-2 winners over Alabama State. Guys, this Alabama State team, you look at that and say, well, Steve, I mean, it's 10-2. Alabama State's 9-3 in their league. They could be a real threat in the SWAC. But it was an 8-run fourth that proved to be the difference in this ballgame. Alabama State scored in the 7th and the 9th. Austin Breedlove with the win in relief for Tennessee. Auburn and Georgia Tech. Auburn comes through with a top 25 win as they take down Georgia Tech 9-8 in a bit of a wild game here. Auburn jumps out to a 4-0 lead. And then Georgia Tech kind of gives one back in the 2nd. Auburn takes that run back in the 5th. And so it's a 4-run lead going to the 6th. And then Georgia Tech plates 6 in the bottom half to take the lead at 7-5. Auburn gets a run back in the 7th and then puts up 3 in the 8th. Georgia Tech gets one back in the bottom half, and that's where the scoring is capped as Auburn wins 9-8 on a night where Georgia Tech actually out hit them 13-8. Always interesting. But that's you talk about midweek wins, that's a big one, man. And they played that game over in Atlanta. So you double the points for Auburn. South Carolina, you know, those guys were eager to kind of get back on the good side of things. They win 13-3-7 over South Carolina Upstate. Of course, that roster at South Carolina Upstate was just ravaged in the offseason, including Noah Sullivan, who came here. But Gamecocks get out to a 6-0 lead, and then USC Upstate makes it kind of interesting there in the 4th, and we talk about how important these middle innings are. It's South Carolina with 6 in the bottom of 6 to basically put the game away, and then they walk it off with a mercy rule RBI in the bottom of 7 to win 13-3. Louisville hosted Kentucky last night in the rivalry game. It goes 10 innings. And it looked like Kentucky was going to win this thing. It's a 2-2 ball game in the 10th, and Kentucky scores in the top half of the 10th to take a lead, and then Kentucky with 2 to walk it off in the bottom half of the 10th. Pretty wild game. Louisville ranked 14th in the country. Dan McDonald appears to have a good club this year, and we'll play Kentucky a little bit later ourselves. They're currently 18-12 and 5-7 in the league, and of course they lose 2 out of 3 last weekend to Ole Miss. Very tight competitive games. Dayton tries to make a game of it for a while, but it was a 6-run third that proved to be the difference in the Vanderbilt win over Dayton 9-2. And of course, you know, the Bulldogs 8-3 winners over UAB. Arkansas, a bit of a tussle with Arkansas State, but never any real anxiety, I guess. And I don't know how their fans feel, but you know, anytime that we go down in the first 3 innings of a midweek game, we have to talk our people off the ledge. Well, that's what happened last night in Fayetteville. Arkansas State takes a 2-1 lead into the fifth. It's true. And then Arkansas is like, okay, this is enough. They get 3 in the fifth, 3 in the bottom of the sixth, and ultimately win the game 7-3. Dylan Carter with the improves his record to 4-0, winning relief for him. Florida State. And this is good for Mississippi State because it's not just about who you beat, but who you beat and who they beat, right? So Florida beats Florida State in Gainesville 5-4. Florida State currently ranked 9th in the country. And so some nice RPI points from Florida. We'll have an opportunity to play Florida 3 times next weekend. And so I'm always pulling for the teams that we're competing against, right? The teams that we know we're going to play, everybody else, I don't really care as much. Missouri 12-20, and Missouri had an absolute wild game here over in Edwardsville, Illinois. And it's so interesting. Missouri is tied 8-8 in the ninth, and they scored 3 in the top half of the ninth. And Southern Illinois couldn't get it figured out. I guess that's Southern Illinois, is it right? Is that Southern Illinois? You know, there's so many schools now that we play. And Southern Illinois University. Oh, Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville. Yeah. But Missouri needed all they could to get it done. Pierre Seals, the center fielder, probably their best player. 3-for-4, 4 RBI, and a home run in a ball game. But Missouri battling through to win a midweek game. We talked Ole Miss and Memphis. Gunnar Dennis with the win for the Rebels. And Judd Uedermark, 2-for-3 with an RBI. A&M Mercy rolls Sam Houston last night. The Bearcats kind of falling on hard times here as of late. They're 8-25 overall, 2-7 in their league. A&M improves to 17-15, feeling good about themselves after the weekend at Tennessee. I mean, you go to the number one team in the country, and of course, listen, they had some advanced scouting because of last year, right? They dug into Tennessee last year big time during the College World Series. So a little extra motivation and maybe a little more dogged preparation against Tennessee. But offense is clearly playing better since Friday. They got Mercy ruled a no-hit on Friday, and then they win the doubleheader, and Mercy ruled Tennessee, and now they roll right through Sam Houston. Alabama, Mississippi State's next opponent, beat Southern Miss 10-6. And this is one of those games, too. Southern Miss gets out to a 4-0 lead, and you know the folks in Hattiesburg were feeling it, right? Another chance to beat an SEC team, and then Alabama gets 2 in the fourth to cut it back, and then it's a 6-run bottom of 6, and from there, Alabama never really looked back. Southern Miss with 2 in the 8th, and Alabama answers to win 10-6. Ozzie Pratt with a good ball game for Southern Miss, 3-for-4, 3 RBI with a home run. And Justin LeBron, who's probably going to be the first-team All-American shortstop, 3-for-5 in that ball game. Dallas Baptist goes into Norman, Oklahoma, and gets on Oklahoma really good. One of the things that we talked about after playing them is that the depth of that pitching staff is just kind of non-existent, and they've had to move some guys around. And so midweeks are kind of be interesting. And Dallas Baptist gets them 9-1 in Norman. 14 hits for Dallas Baptist. And they broke it open with 5 there in the third. And Oklahoma doesn't score until the 7th, and by that time the game is well in hand. It was 9-0 before that. That's it. 1 run on 6 hits for the Sooners against midweek pitching from Dallas Baptist. LSU, a bit of a tussle last night, too. If we had played Nicholls State this way, We would have blood in the streets today, even though LSU won. You know, we beat Nichols too. But guys, in the six, after six are in the books, and this game's playing Thibodeau. Nichols is up 3-0 through the middle innings. And then only then, LSU gets 5 7 for their only runs of the game to win it 5-3. That's exactly what you want if you're LSU, right? Is to have to go on the road and play a midweek game down south, down to Bayou, and then have to go sweat that thing out. I mean, you end up winning it, but goodness gracious, for six innings. I mean, it's excruciating. Texas Mercy rolls Houston Christian 12-2, and that rounds out your SEC scoreboard. Let's take a quick look ahead. We'll take a quick peek ahead at the weekend. Actually, got some game. We got one game tonight, I guess. Ole Miss and Alcorn. Yeah, Ole Miss and Alcorn is actually underway right now. Rebels with six there in the first. They'll cruise in this ballgame, as you guys should expect. Cade Townsend's pitching for Ole Miss. Maybe we see him in the Governor's game. Always kind of be mindful of those things. Looking ahead to Thursday, we do have a couple of series getting underway in Southeastern Conference play. Missouri will be at Florida. Of course, your Tigers 0-12 in the SEC and 12-20 overall. Florida 1-11 in SEC play. So a battle between the 15th and 16th ranked teams, and you know us as well as I do, Florida is better than that. They have just been decimated with injuries. But how wild would it be if Missouri went down there and got a game? I just don't think Missouri's got enough pitching to beat Florida International, much less Florida. South Carolina will be at Texas A&M. That could prove to be an interesting series, right? And you start asking yourself, well, who do we cheer for? Well, we cheer for South Carolina because we don't play Texas A&M. And so, you know, we want South Carolina to get as many wins as they can because we've got two over them. So, yeah, I'm not rooting for Texas A&M. I get no benefit from a South Carolina loss other than in the actual standings. But, you know, they're a game behind us. We just got to take care of ourselves. We don't need to be worrying about that. I'm thinking about RPI points. So we need South Carolina to go in there and win some games. Not that Texas A&M's RPI is going to be great, but the more wins South Carolina gets, the better. A Texas A&M win does absolutely nothing to help Mississippi State. Looking around the rest of the league, Arkansas and Georgia will get underway on Friday in Athens. Texas will be at Kentucky. It's going to be an interesting deal to see how Kentucky responds after a couple of emotional losses to Ole Miss last week, and then you lose to Louisville in the midweek. Nick's a great coach. I'm sure they'll rally. But Texas playing exceptionally well right now. LSU will travel to Auburn. That could be a fun series. It really could. LSU and Auburn on the road at Plainsman Park. Not quite as easy to poke the ball out of there for the right-handed hitter as it is at LSU. That'll be interesting. Of course, your Bulldogs will be in Tuscaloosa. Tennessee will be in Oxford, Mississippi. Who knew beginning of the year this would be a top 10 matchup? I would say none of us. But a lot of people are saying, hey, man, do you think Ole Miss can get a game against Tennessee? Well, here's the thing. We don't play Tennessee. And so if we expect to beat Ole Miss, right, the RPI is going to be there. But, you know, hey, it wouldn't kill us to see Ole Miss take a game. It wouldn't kill us. I think it's all going to take care of itself. And as I always say, if we need them to win something for us, we probably don't deserve it. Vanderbilt will be at Oklahoma. I think this is an awfully interesting series. I think both of these teams are a little bit compromised offensively. But Oklahoma playing at home, you know, we'll see what happens with them. Vanderbilt has not been great offensively, but they have pitched it pretty well. So just kind of something to watch as we get into the weekend. And of course, we'll get on Friday, we'll pick them. You know, we'll recap our Thursday games and just kind of pick this thing out. But it's always so interesting to me because there's always some crazy series that nobody sees coming, right? There's always that one. I just got a feeling it may be this weekend. I just don't know who it's going to be. And maybe it's Kentucky. I don't know. But there's always that wild weekend that everybody like, well, that's just college baseball. Real quickly, looking at some numbers here too, Mississippi State currently hitting sixth in SEC play at 298. Arkansas leads at 335. Then LSU, Tennessee, Georgia, Auburn. State and Alabama both hitting 298 as it stands right now. It's going to be an interesting weekend. It's going to be an interesting weekend. Pitching numbers, State currently sixth in the league with an ERA of 3.78. Alabama, 10th at 4.55. And there's a couple things you're going to find interesting about Alabama. Zane Adams had pitched last week. His velo was down. I don't know what's going on there. And then Riley Quick is coming back from a blood blister on a middle finger. He missed Oklahoma series. He tried to give it a go last week and basically had like 1.5 pitches. And then they're not sure what they're going to do on Sunday. And so that's an interesting thing to me, that two of the guys that started last week against Auburn, one of them is not going to start. And the one that threw on Friday had a very difficult outing, is back on Friday, and then your Saturday pitcher is working his way back from blister. It's just interesting to me. I think it's going to be an interesting weekend. Perhaps you do too. Let's go ahead and name our player of the game last night, and I think we have to go with Garrick Fry, don't you? Courtesy of closewithblair.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Phone number 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Get Blair's 24 years of experience and expertise working for you. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. Thus, close with Blair. Nobody stays in any industry 20-plus years by accident. You got to be good at what you do, and Blair is. But several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with Blair, I've had multiple people over the years say, Steve, what's his number? Yeah, I'll give it to you again. It's 601-500-2344. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, look no further than Blair Chandler, who is also one of us, season ticket holder, multiple sports, has a place here in town. It's all very so interesting. But Blair is the guy that can get you taken care of. So be sure and hit him up. Let him know you heard about him with us. And he can get you going. Again, our player of the game on Tuesday, Garrick Fry. And, I thought the big hit there kind of opened some things up for us. But I just think that guy's a trained hitter. And, I tip of the cap to the staff to move some things around to try to find a way to get him in the order. Because, I mean, second base, he just wasn't comfortable there. We all know this. He didn't look comfortable. We're not being critical. That's just the reality of it. He just wasn't doing it, you know. And the reality of it is we let him take a few reps out there and left and track a few balls and see what happens. And now here we are. And so I think it'll probably be one of these scenarios, too, where, you know, it's like you wonder, is it Aaron Downs? Is it going to be Stallman? We'll see. You know, and I think sometimes, too, you know, you got to think about Nolan Stevens. You know, he's still not 100% back from that back injury deal. I mean, it's just a strained back thing. It's not – you know, he can still play. But wouldn't hurt every now and again when they're throwing, you know, a lefty to let Aaron Downs get a start. And we've done some of that too. And so it's good that we have some depth and we can move some guys around. And again, so Garrick Fry, your close with Blair player of the game. It is now time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. CalidoGuitars.com. A Mississippi State company owned and operated in Lake Jackson, Texas. They sell electric, acoustic, and classical guitars. They're known for all their high-quality instruments, exemplary customer service, and expert advice. Here's the deal, guys. It's not just guitars. It's everything else you need. You know, you got players in your life. Maybe you're a player yourself. It may be time to upgrade the rig or some of your equipment. Let's help out a Mississippi State business and in turn help out Mississippi State. What do you mean? Well, more on that later. You know, they sell guitars for beginners all the way up to professionals. It's true. Guitar strings, cases, gig bags, and there's just something cool about walking with a guitar case, too. You should try it, but don't be a poser. Visit Kalido Guitars or call 979-297-4733, and you can use the promo code, the one that's synonymous with this show, BSR, Beautiful Steve Robertson. It gets you a lot. With Kalido Guitars. Get you 10% off your order. You get free shipping, and you don't pay any sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. In addition to that, you get a 5% donation made to the Bulldog Initiative / Bulldog Excellence Fund. You need a guitar anyway? Let's support some Mississippi State folks and in turn help Mississippi State. And you can do it at a tremendous discount. That's Kalito Guitars, the proud sponsor of the Top 10 List. Okay, some people have been getting on my nerves lately. Many of them on social media, some in person. And sometimes you just got to bite your tongue and you got to get on your podcast and you got to vent. And so here we are. It is amazing to me the things that some people do to mess up their lives. It is absolutely amazing to me. In addition to that, they mess up the lives of other people. And then there are other people out there that are just kind of sticks in the mud and they're in the way, right? That's one of the things that I can't stand. I run wide open all day, every day. I can't stand people to slow me down. It drives me nuts. One of the first things that I do each day is open the email and return all the emails because I don't want anybody waiting on me because I hate waiting on other people. So I'm not going to hold other people to a standard that I don't hold myself to, right? I get right on it. That's me. You may be differently. But again, it's just, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking about this person did this. Man, I hate to be judgmental, but man, this person is my friend. And this is really stupid. This is really stupid. And then I log on to Facebook, and anytime that I need to feel good about my own level of intelligence, I can do that. Log on to Facebook or Twitter and get all these hot takes from people that are uninformed about social issues and things that are going on in our country these days. And I think to myself, how do these people make it through the day? I mean, honestly, how do they wake up in the morning and they leave and close and lock the door and get into a car and operate a motor vehicle down a thoroughfare and get to a place of business and then make it through a work day without getting fired and then make it home? It blows my mind. And I hate to sound arrogant when I say that, but there's some people, I mean, that's the thing I love about social media. The best thing about it is everybody can use it. And the worst thing about it is everybody can use it. But really, you kind of find out who people are. There are a lot of people out there pretending to be something else online. It's amazing to me that so many people pretend to be stupid. So our top 10 list today is songs about stupidity and idiocy and just downright dumb. So here we go. And this is a very eclectic list. And a lot of these bands you're not familiar with, but they fit our theme today. Top 10 songs about idiots. And no, your Green Day song didn't make it. Because every time I hear that, I don't want to be an American idiot. I always say to myself, too late. All right, number 10. It's Frank Zappa's weird, crazy song. And that could describe a lot of them. But we're going to go with Dumb All Over. Song was way back in the 70s. And it's apropos today, 50 years later. Number 9, a band that I don't know that we've ever done before. They Might Be Giants. Museum of Idiots. It talks about, you know, this whole neighborhood's built in wood and, you know, a lot of stuff goes on in that one. And there's a big horn section in that one, too. Maybe you like the horns. Maybe you were in the famous Maroon band and you don't think there's enough horns and music. Well, this one is for you. Number 8, I love this one. Love it. It's Neil Innes's How Sweet to Be an Idiot. Because, you know, ignorance is bliss. Right, there's some people out there that are so incredibly stupid that they don't realize they're stupid. You know, it's like the whole thing, people, the meme that went around several years ago, it's like having a sixth sense, like those people didn't know they're dead, and some people don't know they're stupid. It's true. It's true. And it must be an incredible life to be able to just kind of blissfully go through and just be completely oblivious to everything else going on in the world. Number 7. Primus, we haven't done them very often either, but Les Claypool bringing it in the great bass line there, but it's More on TV, and that's basically anything you turn on these days, it seems, and maybe I'm becoming a crotchety old man, maybe, I hope so. Number 6, a song you can dance to, it's Insurge, an industrial type band with I Hate Stupid People. It's true. It's what Steve you shouldn't hate. Well, you know, I don't hate them personally. I just kind of hate what they do. Yeah, like I'll give you an example. Like yesterday, I was in a hustle, right, to get out. I got up, busy day, had to write the pitching preview, had to hustle, get to campus, take some pictures during practice, and go run the camera to Dana, let her upload some pictures, go back for the Jeff Lubbe presser, go back and then upload the video, and then hightail it to Birmingham. And almost to Birmingham, I realized I had not eaten yet. And so I decided to stop outside of Birmingham in Bessemer to get some McDonald's. You know, I mean, there are better options, okay, obviously. But when you're in a hurry and you need something filling, sometimes McDonald's is the move. But nevertheless, and so I go and I make my order, and they hand me my drink, you know, the cup, you know, and you go to the fountain service area and you fill it up, right? And so, I mean, I'm not wasting any time. I get my ice in there, and this lady, I don't know what her situation was, and so I don't know what's happening with her, but she was huffing and puffing and everything else behind me, and I wasn't being slow. I mean, I'm saying I was at the drink stand less than 30 seconds, right? And so then I go over there to put my lid on and my straw, and apparently, again, I wasn't moving quick enough for her, even though I had moved over to the left to give her plenty of room to address her own things. But because in her heightened state of anxiety, she's rushing and aggravated, and she knocked over all the lids. And it was all that I could do not to laugh and laugh and laugh. You know, it's like I'm not impeding your progress at all. I'm moving the way that normal people do. And then your own impatience leads to you having to stop and help clean up all these lids you knocked down. Now they're going to be thrown away, right? They should probably charge you for it. So take a deep breath or maybe leave earlier. Set the alarm to go off 10 minutes earlier in the day. Give you a little buffer. Number five, another kind of weird one. And I've noticed a lot of people, like on the YouTube comments, are saying this song just kind of hits differently. You know, it's just interesting to me. But it's a song from NoFX called Idiots Are Taking Over. And every 4 years, that kind of comes back around. So, number four, one of my favorite songs on the list from the old punk rock band Meat Puppets. It's Armed and Stupid. Yeah, Armed and Stupid. And some people are armed with stupidity. And it's so interesting to me that there's some people out there that want me to just play along, right? Oh, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. They're doing a good job. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not. And you're enabling them to be stupid instead of taking the time to say, no, no, no. This is the expectation. This is what we're going to do, you know. Number three, off one of my favorite albums of all time from Ozzy's Ultimate Sin album, it's Fool Like You. There's only one song on that album I don't really dig, and that's Thank God for the Bomb. I think it's terrible. But the rest of that album is magnificent. It truly is. There's no filler outside of that Thank God for the Bomb song. It just didn't fit. But again, I argued that the peak Ozzy years were the Jake E. Lee years. Yes, Randy was a more technical player. I just think that Jake may have been a better rock riff creator. Just my feeling. Number two. We had to work this in. It's What a Fool Believes from the Doobie Brothers. Yeah. There's so much of that. And number one, you know that song because of Michael McDonald and the falsetto and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, one of the things that I have learned about life, and I think I've shared this with you guys before. When I worked for Hollegmeyer's Furniture years ago, worked for them for 8.5 years, I probably would have stayed with them forever. I loved it. I loved what we did. I loved helping you all find the perfect thing, and I was good to collect the money, you know. And so we had a good thing going, and but they used to send this, you know, this packet from RGO, from the Richmond General Office, and you get your RGO mail, and there'd be all this information about stock and about new products, and there would be, you know, upcoming sales and a lot of direction. We didn't have email back then. And so we get that every Monday, and there was always a thought for the week in there. And the only one that I remember, and maybe because it applied to me, and it said that we would learn more from our mistakes if we weren't so busy denying that we made them. And that's kind of where we are with this one. there are a lot of people out there that think, hey, I'm doing great, and they're not. And one of the things that I have learned in all of my many years of management, one of the most difficult things to do is to convince somebody who's doing a bad job that they're doing a bad job when they think they're doing a good job. And I've always taken that as a personal criticism because it means that I have not conveyed my expectations in the proper way. So it is a shared failure. But as the boss, sometimes you have to kind of step up and say, hey, this is what's acceptable. This is not. This is where you need to operate. There's a lot of people out there that just want to operate in the median, right? They don't really want to get right or get left. They just kind of want to be out there in the road. You got to go one way or another. But number one, and I watched this video through, I think, three times before I recorded the show. It's Alice Cooper's Hey, Stupid. Now, this is not necessarily just about, quote, stupid people. It's about people in rock music doing drugs and things like that and throwing their life away. But it applies to everybody. The chorus could be sung from the rooftops at times. Hey, 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 stupid. Yeah, I didn't sing that. I'm just kind of spelling it out for you. We've had that song on the show before, and it's certainly appropriate here. Hey, stupid. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, please reach out. Let me know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti on X at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. You can find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Campus Bookmart has always been there when you've needed them. They always will be. So when you're looking for great Mississippi State merchandise, whether it be apparel or gift ideas or just something you need for that Bulldog fan in your life, maybe it's a birthday or a housewarming gift, you can find exactly what you need at Campus Bookmart. Now go by and see their smiling faces next time you're in town. If you can't make it to town, you can still support a Starkville business by visiting them at campusbookmart.net. By being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. It is BSR. That stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones incomplete. Those diploma frames, a great gift this time of year for the future Bulldog graduate in your life. That's something to be thinking about. You can be the preferred parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle, whatever, by getting a timeless gift like a diploma frame. Again, that's campusbookmart.net. Okay, big news from Mississippi State men's basketball. Keyshawn Murphy enters the portal, and it's so interesting. You know, he did it last year, too, and then withdrew. We hope that's the case this year. But, man, when you start looking at this thing, man, it's rough. I mean, it is. I can't sit here and tell you everything's going to be all right. I will tell you, Chris Jans has my ultimate respect and trust. I know that Chris will put a competitive roster together, but man, it's such a roller coaster with this portal, man. So let's count it off here. Claude L. Harris, eligibility done. Kanye Clary, minimal impact in the portal, didn't play much of the year. Riley Kugel in the portal. Now Keyshawn Murphy in the portal. We hope he comes back. Cam Matthews has exhausted his eligibility, right? So he's gone. And so Sean Jones, you know, a guy that's not a prolific scorer, but a good player, you know, he's back. Delquan Warren, a guard, you expect him back. You know, Jeremy Famina, he's a guy that we weren't exactly sure what's going to happen. He has not gone in yet. Harrison Alexander, Adrian Myers, those guys are going in. I mean, it's just, Josh Hubbard, of course, is declared for the draft. Melendez exhausted eligibility. Nwoko's headed to LSU. Gotch Hole, of course, is still around. But you start working through this thing, and you just don't have much left to work with. And so I know many of you have a lot of portal fatigue, and I do too, to be honest with you. You know, and I deal with this every day. We were talking about this just a couple days ago with Sam Scar from The Ledger. You know, they basically wait around for the birth announcement, you know, the commitment story, you know. You know, we kind of deal with the labor pains. And we got a lot more room to work with, too. That's not a criticism of The Ledger, but or of Sam. But I share that with you because It feels like that we are constantly in a state of portal coverage. Guys going in, guys transferring in, guys transferring out. The same thing on the women's side. And man, there's just not much left on the women's side too. And that's the thing. There's so many times that I think many of us feel like, you know, what's going to happen? You know, what is going to happen? Well, what's going to happen is that every year you're going to go out and buy a new team. That's what's going to happen. The days of recruiting, building, developing, those days are over, especially on the basketball side, especially. You know, football, it's a little different. Baseball, it's a little different. But on the basketball side, number one, there's a lot of money out there available. And many guys, of course, even if they don't make the NBA, that they want to make the G League or have a chance to play overseas and to continue play, and you want to keep the dream alive as long as you can. But it's so incredible to look at this and think where we've come. You in the beginning of the portal, you'd have a couple guys leave, right? You'd have a couple guys go. You know, I remember the last year, Ben Howland, you know, we had a couple kids that before the portal opened, before that was a real thing, you know, we signed up on a waiver. Say these are good kids. They didn't cause any trouble. That they played just enough that they didn't get a red shirt. And we don't oppose them playing with immediate eligibility. It made a lot of sense. It was a process that was a little more restrictive, I guess you could say. And it curtailed a lot of the transfer stuff. Now, also, too, to be fair, it's not just the players that decide on their own that, hey, we're just going to take off, right? Sometimes you have your exit meeting and you're like, hey, we've got this guy signed and this guy signed, and we think they're better than you, and so you're not going to play a lot next year. So it may be a good idea for you to look somewhere else. It's part of the deal, too. It's not just a one-way street. A lot of people think, you know, a lot of these players are just, you know, leaving us for the sake of leaving us. But, you know, you look at all the, I mean, what is it, four players left now? Four players left on the women's basketball roster. Destiny McFall, who's a redshirt senior, Chandler Prater, Rocia Jimenez, who has played very little, and then, of course, Quinera Montague. So four players left on the roster. And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot of new names. You got a signing class coming in, but you know, obviously it's going to be a big portal class too. But I get it, man. I see the comments out there, and it's like there's nothing to believe in anymore when it comes to sports. You know, and I cover this for a living. And I notice a lot of people are just like, you know what, Steve, just tell me when the games are. I'm just going to come cheer for Mississippi State. I'll get to know the players as we go. You know, and there's just this feeling of resignation with a lot of fans. It's like, I just don't know from one year to the next who's going to be here. And the thing that I would say is, you think about your coaching staff too. And let's say you've got a couple players that have kind of proven they're not going to be able to play at this level. And the merciful thing to do is to tell them that, right? So that way they can leave and go somewhere else and play maybe in a lesser league. And get some minutes and build some memories and have some fun, get their education paid for. Nobody wants to go practice all day, every day, and ever get the payoff of having an opportunity to show what you've learned and what you've been able to develop. And so if you can't play at Mississippi State, perhaps you can play, you know, at Southern Miss, or you can play, you know, at a lower level. And so I share that because I honestly, I don't know that we're getting the portal that was intended. You know, I never really had any objections to the one-time transfer exception, right? Let's say your coach leaves, or let's say someone in your family falls ill and you want to be closer. Well, it made sense for people to go into the transfer portal and have their one-time transfer exception. There was nothing wrong with that. And says, you know what? If you transfer a second time, as say do Trey Ord did for football, then you got to sit a year. And so people are more likely to stay. And then the courts got involved. Everybody said, oh, no, unlimited transfers has to be legal. I mean, forget the fact that everybody signed a bonded contract on a scholarship agreement, a financial aid agreement. You know, the rules tend to change. And so as a result, we've got a mess. And it's the adults that have failed the young people in this scenario. Now, you look at this and some, listen, we got some players on our football team that just about all of their NIL money goes back to their families. And maybe that's the case in other sports, but I know of a couple specific examples where that's the case. We had a young man last year that we didn't get out of the portal. And he wanted a little bit more than we were willing to pay. And somebody was able to meet his asking price. And, you know, well, Steve, we got outbid. Well, I guess technically we did. We just didn't continue the bidding process because it's like, hey, this is what we've got allocated for this position. This is what we think this guy's worth. We're not going to overpay for a guy that we don't think is a difference maker. And ultimately, he told me why I picked this school over Mississippi State is I got about $50,000 more from this other school. And even though it's a chance to play in the SEC, I'd love to play in the NFL, but I'm a bit of a realist, and I understand that's probably not in the cards for me. And he goes, so I got to make as much money as I can for my family. And he had a family where one of his family members had been sick for some time and unable to work. And so the burden of all of this kind of fell to his shoulders. So you go from being a two-income household to one-income household, and he's in college. And there's a lot of expense that goes along with that. And he's like, you know, I could just take my scholarship and my stipend and make my way through college. But he goes, I only keep a few $100 a month, and I send everything back to my mother. And so when you look at it in that respect, say, well, that, you know, that makes good sense to me. But those are the exceptions rather than the rules. There's some other players out there that they are basically for sale every year. And they've got agents in their head. And they got agents that are calling around to other schools even before the portal opens and says, hey, if John Q. Bulldog entered the portal, would you have interest? Well, yes, we'd have interest. Okay, well, here's his asking price. And then that school says, yeah, we could probably do that, or no, we couldn't do that. And so there are some players that stay not out of loyalty, not out of community, and not out of love for an institution. They stay because the best deal they have is the one that they're getting from us. And they couldn't get a better deal that made it worth the inconvenience of changing schools and uprooting and finding a new apartment and all that kind of stuff in the NIL market. And it's a mess. And I don't have all the answers. And it's one of these Pandora's box things. Everybody in the beginning was so well intended with all this. But even those that are so hardened about, oh, it's a free market economy, Steve, you just got to deal with it. You know, I understand that aspect of it, but we're talking about amateur athletes, and there was already compensation in place with a free education, free housing, free books. So it's not like they weren't being compensated. And then we came up, the air settlement came through, and all of a sudden there's money there, and now we've got some people out there making $40,000 and $50,000 a month. And it's insanity. It's absolute insanity, the conversations that we're having these days. And the thing that I would say is that, I trust our leadership to make very good and judicious decisions to ensure that we are in a competitive marketplace and that we are a player at the table. There are a lot of people out there that think it's all woe is me and that, you know, it all boils down to contributions, and it doesn't anymore because you got the rev share thing. And assuming the settlement passes, and of course there's still a lot of ebb and flow with that, and we're certain that it will. But by July 1st, there are some people out there that are going to basically just drain their NIL collectives and then switch everything over to RevShare. And I think that's the wrong model. I think you have to continue to use NIL as originally intended in addition to the RevShare. And it's pretty evident to me that Mississippi State was ahead of the curve in that respect. There's some other schools out there that are going to be just throwing money around like crazy between now and July 1st. And so you're going to have a lot of people that are going to get big checks because they're going to threaten to go into the football portal And then you're going to have other people out there that are going to overpay for prospects because they have it. And they're going to spend like there's no tomorrow because in their minds there is no tomorrow. But I get it. You know, I used to see all these Facebook comments, and like I always tell everybody, it's the outgoing traffic that happens first. Just kind of hang loose. We'll get some players. Everything will be fine. But there's just not the same level of kinship. There's not that same level of relationship and community. You know, it used to be a big deal when you got a transfer, right? I remember Shane Power came in. Remember that? And he sat for a year, and he was part of something special as a 2004 Mississippi State men's basketball team won the SEC championship. And we were so excited. We got him. He was Iowa State, but we had to wait for a year, right? And so it's a different dynamic, right? We were always so excited to, hey, somebody picked us, right? They wanted to come be a Bulldog, be a part of what we know and love. And there was something a little bit special about that. Well, now the special part of that has kind of been removed and erased. Now it's not about picking a school because of a community or because of even facilities for that matter. There are a lot of players out there that the right fit is the right amount. You can say, you know what, Steve, it's fair for everybody. And maybe it is, but we don't have to like it. And it's like I think about the Keyshawn Murphy thing, right? If Chris Jans didn't see value in him, he would have let him leave last year. There would have been no attempts to keep him. Right, because when a guy goes in a portal, there's no guarantee you still have a spot. You can't just withdraw and say, I'm going to stay. There has to be communications with your coaching staff. There has to be an agreement. And so Keyshawn Murphy pulls out of the portal last year and then has a big year for us. Where would we have been this year without Keyshawn Murphy? I mean, how many times did you hear me say it on the show this basketball season? And so now Keyshawn Murphy's back in the portal. And I don't think it necessarily has anything to do with Chris Jans or Mississippi State basketball. I think that his stock has never been higher, and whoever is advising him is saying, hey, even if you stick with Mississippi State, then you need to see what your fair market value is. And maybe that's the scenario. Maybe it is. But I would submit to you that Keyshawn Murphy is probably going to get 10 times the suitors this year that he got last year. And I don't know all the details of his decision last year. I'm not in any way trying to suggest that I do. But it may have been a scenario last year when he went in and then found out that the best deal going was the one at Mississippi State. But, yeah, this one bothers me. And, again, not in a personal way. I just hate it for us, right? I don't have any hatred or bitterness in my heart at all for Keyshawn Murphy. I think Keyshawn Murphy is great. And I think he did a great job for Mississippi State this year. I just hate that we're having to deal with this. And I hate that all of you are having to deal with this. And, you know, it's like, hey, you know, no, we haven't won a tournament game, but we've been 3 years in a row, and we've had a lot of good fun the last 3 years. And maybe this year wasn't as much fun as we wanted it to be. But Keyshawn Murphy was a lot of that fun. And so it's like now, well, here we were thinking we could count that he would be back, and he may not be. And matter of fact, I think at this point you would lean more to the fact that he's probably likely expected to be somewhere else. And so it's kind of like a breakup, right? And it sucks. It sucks for all of us. So I get it. You know, there are times I've just said, hey, guys, it'll all be okay. It'll all be okay. I can't tell you that. You know, I feel differently about baseball and in some respects football. And what I mean by that is that I know that Mississippi State in baseball is a destination. That doesn't mean we get everybody we want. But there are a lot of guys that would come here for less money because of the opportunity to play at Mississippi State. To play at a blue blood program like Mississippi State. To play in the premier conference in America. To play before all of you. You know, what do you put a price tag on that to be? Like, right? So I can go and play here for $50,000, or I could play at Mississippi State for $30,000? Well, is it worth $20,000? I think in the grand scheme of things, you think, well, the branding that I could build in a place like Mississippi State is probably worth $20,000 when you look at the totality of my life. You know, football is a little bit lesser, but I think it's one of those things, too, because you don't have to do as much portaling as we're having to do in basketball. I think in basketball too, it's not like we have the tradition to go out and compete the way perhaps we do in baseball. And I think Chris Jans will do a good job and put a good roster together. I'm in no way suggesting that, but we're kind of in a tough spot. That's how I see it. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town. Whether it be a ballgame weekend, a work retreat, or just a chance to get together with friends and family, no better place for your accommodations than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate, and you can peruse through all the amenities available to you and your guests. Full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, that great fire pit area. Conversations around the fire just tend to be more memorable. I don't know if make the rules. This is kind of how it works. Six bedrooms, two soon to be three baths. The old renovated clubhouse out past the Highlands at the old country club. They've renovated that place. It is amazing. We've stayed there. We had a great time. There's nothing better than having everybody you love under one roof. Had all my kids, all my grandkids together. And it was a joy just to be able to be there with them and have the opportunity to kind of break bread and watch football and just enjoy being a family. You owe that to yourselves. And you know, hey, maybe it's not the family you have. Maybe it's the family you choose. Maybe it's a college roommate's weekend reunion. Maybe something like that. Come up here and enjoy some ball. And State is 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. It's an outstanding place to stay. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to pop up too. You can go through Airbnb or VRBO, but you know what? If you book through the Evolve website, I got a promo code for you to save you some cash. Promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10, BSR10, and get 10% off your stay just by being a listener to this show. Maybe you don't need to save any money. I like to save it whenever I can. So you could book and pay more, but why? The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle area. We met with Coach Jeff Lebby yesterday, and not a lot of new information. You know, he kind of touched on so far, you know, through health and knocked on wood. Health of the club has been good on the football side. In addition to that, he mentioned that, you know, we've expected to take multiple offensive linemen in the spring portal season. May take a safety, but he also mentioned a tight end. He didn't mention a safety yesterday, but I was told that some time ago, that we may take a safety if we can find a difference maker, a guy that could potentially start for us. Or at best, a two-deeper, at worst, a two-deeper. But tight end may be a position, too, that we look at as well. We did bring in some tight ends, as you guys are well aware, in the last class, and that's clearly going to be a position of need in the Jeff Lebby era. So that's something to watch. And, of course, again, we're a week away. We don't expect a lot of outgoing traffic out of Starkville. There may be some. You know, there may be some guys that get through spring and to say, you know what, I'm not going to play here. So I need to go somewhere I can. But we don't expect a lot of big numbers as far as outgoing traffic. Now, there will be some at other programs as guys have their spring exit meetings or maybe they needed to graduate. That's all an aspect of things, too. But, yeah, looking at that offensive line, again, we've had a chance to see them a few times now. You got some guys that get out there and put their face in there, and they really play hard. But without Albert Reese out there, you don't have that big mammoth guy. You know, Jimothy Lewis is a guy that's got some good size. I think he's a tackle for you. But I don't know who, at this point, if we know who will be the left tackle. And that's a little bit scary, right? Maybe it's Albert. Maybe it's Jimothy. Maybe it's somebody out of the portal. You know, we'll see. But I think, you know, Luke Work is a guy, too, that factors in at tackle. But you got some pieces back. But, again, I don't think that we are equipped right now to go play an SEC football game. Now, good thing we don't have to, you know, for about, you know, almost 5 months from now, four and a half months or so. But there are still some pieces that we need to facilitate a turnaround that we're going to have to address in the portal. You know, the portal giveth, the portal taketh. That's a thing, too. We hate it when guys leave us and ladies leave us, but we're excited when they choose us. So, you know, we got to be fair about that aspect of it. But that's something to consider, too. As we get into next week, you may see a handful of Bulldogs, maybe one or two. We'll see. Because until they have the, you know, the spring game, I think everybody will hang around. There may be one or two guys that may just decide, you know what, I'm ready to go. So let me get on out of here. But again, I don't expect a lot of outgoing traffic, and that's important to understand as we move forward. I have been impressed with our quarterbacks. Now, you know what Blake can do when he's healthy. Croman Hawk is a guy we hadn't talked an awful lot about. We don't get to see a lot of team stuff, but just kind of watching him kind of throw routes against air and things like that, you can tell that he's been well coached. You know, he does a lot of things well. He doesn't look like he's guessing or even really learning. He's just kind of going through his repetitions. And Kamario Taylor just looks like it's hard to even describe how good Kamario looks. And I don't just mean from a physical standpoint. I mean, just watching the way that he operates, you know, taking the snap, rolling out, throwing the ball on target. There's just a lot to like about him, and I think each of us will be really, really excited about him when his time comes. And hopefully that's maybe next year or the year after. You know, you hope you don't have to play him this year. But Kamario is a real guy. And we talk about a lot of recruits, and they get all hyped up, and then they don't always perform up to their expectations. But the expectations resting on the shoulder of one Kamario Taylor, I think, are very serious. And I think that he is big enough and talented enough to carry them. One of the things that a coach told me last week is that you look up and he's over there eating lunch with a defensive lineman. You know, he's not just a guy that sticks with his guys. He wants to have a relationship with all the guys on the team. And I think that speaks well for his leadership. Davin Booth looks really good. Really good. And I say that because it's so important. Number one, it's a bonus year for us, right? And Levy said it last year. We wish we had another year with him. And due to this ruling, we do have another year with him, which is great. But we recruited as if we weren't going to have him, right? So we go out and you get Fluff. And then you look at Fluff and you look at Booth and you look at guys like Johnny Daniels, who I think is a piece, right? I don't think that he's a guy that's going to get 15, 20 carries a game moving forward. But I think this running back room, how it has been transformed in the last 12 months is remarkable. It absolutely is. You know, this time last year, you know, we were, you know, excited about Jeffrey Pittman, and then he ends up not being with us last fall. He'll be at Southern Miss this year. We'll see him in week one. I'm sure that he will have a chip on his shoulder to play the Bulldogs, so we're going to have to play well, certainly. But Davin Booth did not get the benefit of spring practice last year, and you see him out there now. He is another guy, too, that is not really second-guessing himself. He is really practicing in the periods that we have seen, which are rather limited. He looks like a guy that knows what he's doing. It looks like he's happy to be back, too. I think, you know, maybe CFL would have been a possibility for him. But, you know, now when you think about having the full complement of 12 regular season games to work with him after he's had, you know, a year and a half. People forget he got here in June last year. And it wasn't until around the middle of the year that he kind of got it going. And so you begin to think about that aspect of it. How much better should he be this year over last year, having had a year in the offense and the benefit of a full spring training this year? I think that bodes well, you know, for this offense. And you're just kind of talking to some people off the record, too. The wide receiver room appears to be good. And I think one of the main things about the wide receiver room, from talking to people in the building, is the attitudes toward working and getting better. It's more of a team effort right now in the wide receiver room. Guys, we had some prima donnas last year. Not all of them, but we had some guys that were kind of difficult at times to deal with. And it's so interesting just talking to some of the staffers. They said, man, it's such a joy to come to work these days. Just a different energy in the building. And that's good to hear, you know. And that was one of the things last year. We heard some of that same talk last year from the Big Whistle, you know, about how guys are balled in and guys. And listen, they competed hard until the very end of the year. But I think some of that, too, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're in kind of a questionable relationship and then you get out of it and you look back and say, man, how could I have been so blind? You know, that's kind of how it feels. But again, I'm optimistic about where we are right now, but I am still very concerned about this offensive line group. And I was very concerned about the defensive line group last year, but those concerns weren't really raised until we got into fall camp. you know, these concerns now about the offensive line, it is a known issue, and we have one more portal window to work with. So we can kind of remedy some of that. That's a bonus, because last year we just didn't have the ability to do that. Speaking of defensive line, Calvin Dinkins back out there now, running around. Not even in no contact yellow, you know. Kedrick Bingley-Jones is still in yellow, but Trevion Williams was out there yesterday, as Calvin Dinkins as well. We need those guys to be good and live up to their potential. And poor old Calvin Dinkins, I don't think I'd let him play in the season opener. I mean, that's just, yeah, he's just had such bad luck. 2 years, he gets lost for the year in the season opener. And so, said that before, I'm superstitious, or maybe a little stitious for you office fans. But the reality of it is that, yeah, I think the pieces are there for us to be better. How much better kind of remains to be seen, and I think some of it's going to be dependent on what we do in the portal of spring. All right, if you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com. You can order signed copies of The Dude, Flim Flam, Alpha Dog, Stark Villains, Dog Pile, and When the Bottom Falls right through there. I have a lot of people as of late have told me they think When the Bottom Falls is the best book that I've written. And I think maybe it's because maybe there's some things about me you didn't know. I think The Dude is. I think When the Bottom Falls is probably the book I had to write. And The Dude is probably the best book that I've written. That's just, you know, from the author's point of view. And, you know, we're always working on stuff. Always working on stuff. And what's interesting, I had some people right after they read When the Bottom Falls, they go, Steve, we need a sequel. Well, can I live a little bit longer? You know, there's just a lot left to do in life, hopefully, you know, before you start penning that kind of stuff. But it is a memoir, and it's something that I put my heart and soul into. And it means so much to me that it means so much to so many of you. And again, The Dude still in the Mississippi bestsellers list. Very appreciative of that. Thank you all for that. Now's a good time, too. You know, school will be out soon, and you'll have an opportunity to head to the beach and take some vacation time. And the fun thing for me is when people contact me and say, man, Steve, I learned so much reading that book. I learned so much writing that book. It was very important for me, very important. And I hope that you guys truly enjoy that. And again, every Bulldog fan needs a copy of Dog Pile. You can also come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. And if it's going to be a ballgame weekend, it's smart to book in advance. You can book online. You can download the True Rest app and just book online. Or you can call 662-268-7601. A lot of people have a lot of questions for their first float. You can call Dana, my lovely wife, and she'll answer those questions and give you all the information you need. If you're a person that just needs a break, or perhaps you got chronic anxiety or pain, we may be able to help you as we've helped so many others. No guarantees in life, but even just having some time to yourself, because how many times do we do it? I'm going to take some time to myself, and what do? We get in our phone, in our bed, TV's on, we're still overstimulated. And so you get in there in a stimulus-free environment and have the opportunity to let your mind rest. You'll be amazed at what could happen. It's been a great experience for me. Nothing has done more for my anxiety than floating. I need to float more often, to be honest with you. I get so busy in baseball, and when I'm home, I just want to be home. You know, I don't even think about leaving home. Matter of fact, sometimes I don't even go to town. I'll just run up here to the curb store out here in the country and, you know, give me a snack or something. But, yeah, there's a lot of windshield time in my life, and so when I have an opportunity to just kind of go float and relax and sleep well, I like to do that. And, of course, again, 50% off the annual subscription price at Gene's page for just a few more days. Be sure and check that out. We appreciate all the support. We've had so many new posters and new subscribers that have come along here in the last couple of weeks, and we thank you for that. And that's a great gift idea, too, for the Bulldog fan and your life. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.